Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go!
Welcome to the Side Action, episode 55. This is Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
This is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Follow the podcast at Side Action Pod on Twitter. So, Action, kind of a crazy weekend, a lot of big games, and we did well in certain areas and not well in others, but how was your general weekend?
Oh, it was nice. Vacation with the family down in North Carolina and got a round of golf in on Friday. It was pretty, the weather was mild down there, so I was able to get out and about a little bit and caught a few games here and there too, mostly basketball. Did watch the NFL games on Thursday with the family, so it was a good time. How about yourself?
Well, as we discussed on Saturday, I blew out my hamstring pretty badly in a turkey bowl classic.
Ouch.
We did win the game, but on the second to last play, my cousin got a little overzealous and just shoved me, and apparently my old hamstring couldn't take the wear and tear, so I'm hobbling around for a while, could be on the, you know, IR for at least a month plus here as it heals, but...
So the injury occurred in garbage time?
Well, it wasn't garbage time, you know, it was kind of weird, like I've never played in this game before. Apparently, you know, you play for a little while. It was one touchdown to one touchdown. So it was even. We're going to call it. And they're like, let's give each team one more series, right? From like the half field. You can only get one first down and then you had goal to go. So they basically was goal to go right away. Our team held. We've got the ball back. You know, we get two quick plays in. It's third down. We're trying to get closer to the goal. I just do a quick out, catch the ball. And it's two-man touch, but he just pushed me really hard, and I don't know why, but like I was, I guess, stepping into my right leg, which is my, you know, knee brace leg, and just, man, it just exploded, just popped and
ouch.
Hurt like hell. And I did survive the ground, though. I did catch the ball legally, and then you know, I limped off, and then we proceeded to win the game in the next play. So I guess it just inspired the troops a little bit there.
Nice. Well, sounds like a good time nonetheless.
Yeah. I basically spent the rest of the weekend watching our bets, and, you know, we'll talk about that. So definitely got a lot of watching of television, Netflix, and football in this weekend.
Nice.
Well, let's review the episode. We'll go over our college picks and recap, go over championship week this week, which is huge. Talk about the spots in there. We'll glaze over NCAA hoops. There's a lot of good action this week. We've got the action power ratings that we got to review, and then we'll go over the NFL, both a recap, a little teaser. We did much better this week in Circa, and then our stats, and then our spots for this week so we can keep up the good pace in the Circa contest. So sounds like a nice episode, doesn't it, Action?
Yeah, let's get to it.
For college football recap, we kind of split a little bit this week, you know, kind of ups and downs. Surprisingly, Virginia Tech went down to Virginia in kind of a really good game. Kind of went back and forth. Virginia had to score late to take that one, but so we lost that one. Virginia Tech was 2.5-point favorites in that one, and they went down. So Virginia will represent that side of the ACC against Clemson. Good luck.
Yeah, no kidding.
You got Notre Dame to get a backdoor cover against Stanford. Really weren't covering the whole game until that last touchdown, but got that late TD and – so you made it in. It's, you know, 16-point favorites at Stanford.
Yeah, that was a miracle cover, without a doubt. I think they were down two touchdowns early on. So to get that backdoor cover was certainly good for my pocketbook, but not one I'm going to gloat about.
Exactly. One that I was way off on, Texas A&M went to LSU. They were 17-point underdogs, and I thought this was kind of a sharp play, but LSU came to play, and they destroyed A&M. It was not close at all. I don't even know what the final score was. Was it like 40-13 or something? I don't know. They killed them in the final score. So we lost on that one. Sorry.
50-7, it looks like, LSU.
God.
Yeah.
I mean, Joe Burrow cementing. Did you see that he had the Burrow jersey on where
yes.
It was spelled in the Cajun style? So he's a full Cajun now.
Yeah, phenomenal videography on that as well. It was good stuff.
Yeah. The next game, Cincinnati at Memphis. which is actually a rematch this week. Memphis, from our number, I got 10, and it was a push then. They won by 10, but that number did float up to, I think, up to as high as 13, the final closing line, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it got almost as high as 2 touchdowns. 13.5 was the latest I saw.
Yeah, so it's hard to say. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the spots. But, yeah, so it's kind of weird that these teams are going to play right again this week. So maybe they're holding back. I'm not sure. Washington did come through, and they won over Washington State pretty easily. Chris Peterson has dominated Mike Leach. But guess what? Chris Peterson is done. He's stepping down as the Washington coach. What do you think about that?
Yeah, pretty interesting stuff. I don't know what precipitated that. I haven't had a chance to read too much, but it makes you wonder if he's just burned out or has his sights set on another job, perhaps in the pros.
I know. I wonder, too. There was some speculation about that. Maybe he's kind of gracefully stepping aside so they can find a replacement, and then he'd go to the NFL or another college program. I'm not sure, but that's a big move for Washington. And then the big game, Ohio State against Michigan. I guess you were all over this action. Ohio mm-hmm. State just destroyed Michigan. It was close in the first half, and Michigan probably should have been winning, but they just couldn't get touchdowns, you know, in the red zone. And then in the second half, despite Fields, I thought he tore his ACL on the play.
Oh, really?
He had like an MCL sprain. He went out for a series. And then he came right back in. His first pass was a touchdown pass. I'm like, oh, I guess he's fine. So they won big over Michigan. That was no contest.
Yeah, I definitely gasped myself when I saw the highlight on the TV come across. Of course, we were watching the Indiana-Purdue game in my household. But,
of course.
It was good to see Fields get back out there, because that would have really put a damper on the college football playoff.
No doubt. I don't know if you saw the follow-up questions by a young reporter to Mr. Khaki about, is it a talent gap, is it a preparation gap, or is it a coaching gap between Ohio State and Michigan? Did you see this question?
No.
And then Harbaugh replies, I'll answer your questions, but not your insults.
Nice.
But it's true. They were going over on ESPN that actually, Michigan in the last, whatever it is, 5 years, has more 4- and 5-star recruits than Ohio State in that period. But they only have 4 number one draft picks versus like 18 or 20 for Ohio State. So they're thinking maybe it's player development, the difference between the programs.
Yeah, but could be.
Hard to say. They're definitely looking prime, assuming that Fields is 100% healthy. Your Indiana Hoosiers, man, what the hell happened, dude? This is 2 weeks in a row, man. The Hoosiers have failed us. They were 6.5-point favorites at Purdue. They were there for a while, but they let Purdue get back in, and then they lost the game outright. Wait.
Yeah
they did.
No, Indiana ended up pulling it out in overtime.
Oh, that's right.
44-41. But I think the story in this one was just the Purdue running game, which came out of nowhere.
Hmm.
Running back that I've never heard of, to be honest, before. Mm-hmm. Purdue Boilermakers rushed for over 100 yards and just didn't see that coming. 164 yards for Horvath.
Dang,
that's a lot. I certainly didn't see it coming, because Purdue has the worst rushing attack in the nation. So it was a rivalry game. I guess that's all you can really chalk it up to.
Yeah, it was an exciting game. And when it's overtime, you're right, they did win. But yeah, 44-41, I was like, I think we were texting. I'm like, oh, man. I was thinking it was like 11 points. There's no way they're going to cover. And you're like, they can still cover. I'm like, oh, but they didn't. So what do you
think? Yeah, and that freshman wide receiver David Bell for Purdue was unstoppable. They were just dropping back and throwing it to him every time, and he had a fantastic game. And I took note of probably looking at Purdue futures next year, because they'll have Bell back and Rondale Moore, hopefully, if he's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be very formidable on that side of the ball.
That's right. One that did work out was Auburn. Auburn was playing against Alabama in the Iron Bowl. This was actually probably, I don't know, I haven't seen every college game this year, but this was one of the most entertaining games I've seen, you know, in the last couple of years. Just kind of a back-and-forth affair. A lot of times, you know, when you get these big rivalry games like in the Ohio State-Michigan game, it kind of duds because somebody whoops up. But this came down to the, you know, the final minutes, and Mac Jones played good, man. The guy was good. But sure Auburn pulled it out, and they won the big game and knocking out Alabama out of the playoff system.
Yeah, it was a fantastic game and came down to the wire, as any college football fan could hope for. And in the end, Auburn pulled it out. And I know, did you see Saban's press conferences where he was kind of whining and complaining about it not being fair?
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, it was a little questionable yet in the first half. They gave that somehow get an extra second on the clock, even though I'm not really sure how that worked, which they were allowed to set up a field goal and kick the field goal, which was the difference in the game, right? But obviously, Auburn played a really good game, and Alabama really couldn't stop them, which was kind of interesting in that game. I mean, Alabama obviously traded blows. The guy who really showed out to me, is it Reddy? Who's the returner? He scored four touchdowns in the game for Alabama. The guy was insane. I mean,
Judy?
No, not Judy. Yeah. He's the kick returner. He's their fourth wide receiver. He was the guy who just balled out in this game for Alabama. I mean,
Waddle?
Yeah, Waddle. That dude,
okay.
Four touchdowns in the game, three receiving and one punt return, right? Or maybe it was a kickoff return. This dude was just insane, and I'm like, well, obviously he's going to play on Sunday. But it also begs the question, and we kind of discussed a little bit last time, that maybe two is good, but they got unbelievable receivers on this team.
Oh, yeah, those wide receivers will all play on Sunday, I'm sure. And it does kind of make you question how Tua will perform at the next level.
That's right. The last game was a little bit disappointing. You know, this was for Paul Bunyan's axe, as you know, Wisconsin at Minnesota. And we were on Minnesota. We thought it was this their year. And, you know, I was all on P.J. Fleck. He was coaching really well. And first half looked like that. They were right there. But Wisconsin, the second half, just bulldozed this team in every facet. They ran all over them. They stuffed the Minnesota passing game, and they won going away in this one, and they're going to be facing off against Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship.
Yeah, I was really kicking myself in this one for not hedging in game, because Minnesota jumped out to an early lead, and I saw a couple of 175 or 180 on Wisconsin pop up, but I didn't jump on it, and ultimately that came back to bite me.
Yeah. So kind of a mixed day in college, but we'll move on for the championship Saturday. SP Plus for the top 10. We've still got the usual suspects at Ohio State. Alabama's still up there. Kind of shocking. You know, LSU is at 3, and then Clemson, with Georgia coming in just behind Clemson. Oklahoma's right there at 6. Utah's at 7. Big game for them this week. Florida, Penn State, and then Wisconsin jumps into top 10. Not a ton of surprises. I guess Penn State still being up there surprises me a little bit. But what do you think of the top 10?
Penn State, definitely an interesting inclusion, as well as Wisconsin. I'm not really sure that they belong at that level. And it's indicative based on the spread in that Big Ten championship game.
Yeah, so. Exactly. I would think Auburn would have been the top 10 after the win, but you know how it goes. It's they didn't give up a lot of yards.
True.
So as we go into the conference title games, I mean, you've kind of already outlined here in each one, we can go over them, you know, what SP Plus is saying and their win probability. You've got the ACC, which, let's face it, Clemson against Virginia, this would be like the upset of the century, right? Clemson is they're heavy favorites. They're 21-point favorites. This is SP Plus, right? They're 21 favorites at SP Plus?
Correct, yes.
And so they have a win probability of 89%. Obviously, I don't think that Virginia has a chance, but the line is 28, isn't it?
Yes, it is currently. It actually opened up out in New Jersey at 21.5, so it makes you wonder if they were following the SP Plus number here a little bit, and I can tell you that got hammered pretty quickly.
Well, of course.
Up to 28. Yeah.
You know, I heard a pundit, talking this week, and it seems like everybody's overlooking Clemson, right? But they've been beating people by 30 every week for the last, 5 weeks. ACC stinks, but do you think there's any case for Virginia here?
No, I don't. In fact, I would be all over Clemson. I think that they are dominating opponents, and they've covered 6 straight conference games, and they've covered by an average margin of 11 above the spread.
Oh, right.
So I think they've turned it on, and as good as their offense has been, the defense has been even better. They're top 25 in every single statistical category on that side of the ball. And I think that Virginia is in for a long night on Saturday.
Yeah, agreed. Next one is the Big 12, Baylor against Oklahoma. This is a rematch. Baylor blew the first half lead against Oklahoma and let them come all the way back to the win. Otherwise, Baylor would be playing for the playoff themselves right now. Oklahoma And SP Plus is, you know, 6.4-point favorites, and, you know, it'd be 64% win percentage. But what is our line? It's actually up to 10, isn't it?
I think it's ticked down a little bit, actually. Okay. A little bit of money on Baylor today, down to 8 and 9 at some spots here offshore.
Okay. Interesting. Well, I mean, I guess we could just jump into the leans unless you want to go over these injuries. I initially, at the 10, was all over Baylor. It is going down. I don't know, man. It's hard. I don't like Oklahoma. I don't like their defense at all. You know, I want to root for the little guy at Baylor. Certainly should have grabbed that at 10. When it starts creeping closer to 8, it may be a stay away from me. You got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, the only thing that gives me pause in this game is just the need for Oklahoma to want to run the score up here.
Sure.
I think that they probably believe they still have an outside shot at the playoff. Certainly if LSU comes out victorious over Georgia in the SEC. So I'm expecting that Oklahoma will be pouring it on as much as possible. So for that reason, I'm probably going to stay away from this game, although I would have some interest in Oklahoma if it gets near a touchdown.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. If it gets closer to the SP Plus number. The next one is the Big Ten. Another rematch, Ohio State against Wisconsin. Ohio State pretty much housed them in the first game. It was close in the first half. Ohio State is a 14.1-point favorite in SP Plus with a 79% expected win percentage. But they are at, what's the total, 16.5 now?
Yes.
So I'd still be on the Buckeyes here at 16.5. I don't know what number I'd come off of it, but that seems like a reasonable number given, I don't know how Wisconsin's going to score in the game.
Yeah, and I mean, historically, looking back at Ohio State, they have performed really well in this Big Ten championship game and have had little interest in not running the score up. In fact, they've just destroyed opponents in this game, and I think they do have a pretty serious advantage, especially in the running game. They're seventh ranked in rush explosiveness, and Wisconsin's defense is ranked 107th. At allowing rush explosiveness. So I expect Dobbins to have a pretty huge game, and I do think that I'll be laying the points with Ohio State as well.
Right. Dobbins, I think, last time rushed for about 160 yards. He's just dominating right now. And obviously Fields, if he's healthy, you know, good night. But I was listening to VSiN this morning, mentioned Paulie, and I'm sorry I can't remember the guy's name who was on there. He's a big college football handicapper. He said his number for this game is like 27.
Wow.
So anything under 25 he's in on. So yeah, I definitely would get on that before it goes up, I guess.
Yeah, you got to expect that the public's going to be hammering Ohio State all the way up until game time.
Exactly. The next one is the Pac-12. This is kind of a big game. I mean, Utah theoretically can play their way in with a win here and a Georgia loss. So they're playing against Oregon. This is a game they played. Did they play this game last year? Or am I mistaken? That was Washington
State. Washington was in the championship last year. I don't recall who they played.
Okay, yeah, you're right. I think they played Utah as well. But Utah is roughly a 7-point favorite in SP Plus, 7.1. 66% win percentage here, according to SP Plus. But this line is only, am I looking at this right? It's 2.5?
No, it was.
Okay, sorry.
But some money poured in today on Utah. I actually pushed this line out to 6.5 and 7 in some spots.
Okay, so now it's more in line with SP Plus. Mm-hmm. Do you still like it at that number, or is that too rich at this point?
Yeah, I do. I like Utah here. I think that under a touchdown is a good play still, just based on this team's defense. They're sixth ranked on that side of the ball and have held their opponents down all season long. And I think that even though Oregon and Herbert have shown some ability to pass the ball, I believe that Utah and that secondary will hold them to a low-scoring game. In fact, I also like the under in this game. It's down to 47.5 now, but I still think there's some value there. When you also look, there's some weather expected throughout the week in Santa Clara, and I think that some rain on that turf has historically proven to make it a little sloppy. So I like the under.
Okay.
Do you think that you would still go in on Utah at that number?
At 6.5, yeah, I think it makes sense, a touchdown. If it gets to 7 or over, I don't think I would. I think that, I mean, Oregon's a pretty talented bunch. I mean, they were, I don't know, if they didn't slip up, they'd be in the same situation as Utah, you know, win and get in. So,
right.
You know, it's interesting. From a talent perspective, we handicapped this conference at the beginning of the year, we're kind of right on with it. Utah has this experienced bunch, a lot of good talent coming back, and Oregon has a lot of youth and just raw, you know, NFL-type talent. I do think there's a coaching gap, though. I think the Utah coach is better. So I don't know. I just think it's 7 points is deadly. So I'd, 6.5 I'd take for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Utah has one of the best defensive lines in the country. Mm-hmm. And there is an Oregon offensive lineman, Jake Hansen, who missed the last game against Oregon State. So it'll be interesting to see his status before this game kicks off Friday night.
For sure. All right, now the next, the last big one is the SEC. Georgia is playing LSU. LSU is a juggernaut, not unlike Ohio State. It seems like they're on a collision course, but Georgia is a really solid defensive team, very good at rushing the football. They do have, they kind of had a boneheaded situation on Saturday where against Georgia Tech, I think it's their wide receiver, gets in a fight, starts swinging. He's going to be suspended for the first half. Plus, I guess Swift, the talented running back, is a little banged up. So those are a couple things in against Georgia, and they're already an SP plus at 2.6 points, 56% win probability, but the line is higher than that, isn't it? Yeah, it's 7.5.
Over a touchdown now.
Yeah.
Across the board.
So, which is a little bit contrary. You know, usually we go for these spots in SP plus, but I don't know if I'd back Georgia here. It looks like LSU's rolling. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I like the LSU side in this one. Not only George Pickens, who is going to be out in the first half, their number one wide receiver, Lawrence Cager, is doubtful to return this season. So I think that a already mediocre Georgia offense is going to be even more hobbled with the setbacks that they have across that side of the ball. And there is just no way that they're going to be able to match scores with LSU, probably the most explosive pass offense in the nation.
Right.
So I am definitely going to be looking to LSU in this game, without a doubt. I would like to get it at that 7, though. If that comes up anywhere, I'll be looking to back them.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha. The other smaller conferences that are in play this week, first we have the AAC. It's the rematch that we mentioned, Cincinnati at Memphis. Memphis in SP Plus, you know, we know SP Plus loves them, is 15.4-point favorites, an 81% win probability, although they just played, you know, as a 10-point game, so the line is more reflective of that. It's 9.5 from what I'm seeing on BetOnline. Mm-hmm. So any interest in the Tigers, who've won me a lot of money this year?
No, I don't think so. I'm going to pass on this game, although it was very interesting to see the Cincinnati backup quarterback, Ben Bryant, come and passed for over 200 yards, and they kept that game pretty close. So certainly something that makes you pause a little bit before backing either side in this game.
Gotcha. The next game is Conference USA, UAB against FAU. This could be Lane Kiffin's last game at Florida Atlantic. He seems to be primed to either be coaching in Arkansas or maybe Missouri next year. They are 8-point favorites in SP Plus, 68% win percentage, which is pretty consistent with what I'm seeing, 7-point favorites. I think Florida Atlantic is going to roll in this one, but what do you think?
I would be looking at the underdog in this game, okay, especially at the current number. I think that UAB over a touchdown here offers a little bit of value. Their defense is pretty good at stopping the rush, and they're very good at creating havoc as well. So I think if you have a defense that can have some big plays like that, always gives you a chance as an underdog.
Nice. Also, maybe with Kiffin out the door, they've given up. You never know.
That's true. Yeah, could be.
One of the lesser games, the MAC, Miami against Central Michigan. Central Michigan, according to SP Plus, is 6.7-point favorites, 65% win percentage probability. I don't see them on the board. No, there they are. They're 7-point favorites in BetOnline, but that could be coming down. Any interest in the MAC game?
No, not anymore. This game opened up at 3 and got hammered by pro bettors, mainly because the Miami quarterback, Brett Gabbert, is likely going to be out. Picked up an injury last weekend, and it doesn't appear that he's going to play. And I think that Central Michigan is the deserved favorite here. But 7 points is a lot to lay, especially if you know that you could have gotten 3 earlier in the week.
I think I heard on VSiN that there's a ticket for Miami to win the MAC at like 7,500 to 1 or something. So
wow, that would be awesome.
It's out there. We'll see. The next one is the Mountain West rematch of Hawaii at Boise State. Boise is a heavy favorite per SP Plus at 13.3, 78% win probability. Looks like, what am I seeing yet? I don't see it on Ben. I know I do. They also are 13.5-point favorites. Any reason not to back Boise in this situation? And they're playing, no. They're playing at the Smurf, on the Smurf turf, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, and it looks like I would certainly be looking at the weather in this one before I think about playing the game, because you have a team from Hawaii coming to play up in Boise, and certainly not something they're accustomed to.
Exactly.
But to be honest, I'm going to pass on this one altogether.
Gotcha. Well, the last game is the Sun Belt, Louisiana Lafayette at App State. App State will be hosting the game. Per SP Plus, they're just 3.6-point favorites, 58% win percentage. But they're 6.5-point favorites. They played early in the year, 17-10. So they won by 10, but it was kind of a slugfest. This total is at 56. I'm not really sure what they're seeing here, unless it's, you know, these offenses were holding back last time. This is one I know you like the underdog in the UAB FAU game, but this is one I'm backing the underdog here. I would take the 6.5 points with Louisiana Lafayette, and I'd probably go under with this 56.
Yeah, I remember the first game. I think I was on the over as well in that one. And for some reason, the offenses just couldn't get much going on either side.
Right.
But I'm right there with you. I think that there's value with the Raging Cajuns here, and it mostly has to do with the Appalachian State rush defense. They're outside of the top 100 in opponents' rushing plays. And I think that ULL should have some success on the ground this weekend as well as through the air. And I think that getting 7 points here is pretty key. I took 6 earlier in the week, and then when it hit 7, I added some more to my position. So,
that a boy. Well, just to review, I mean, we're on Clemson pretty much at any line, at Ohio State pretty much at any line. Looks like Oklahoma around that 7 mark, right? We've got, again, Utah in that same range. If they're around that 7, we're on it. LSU, we're on that, not regardless of the line, right? 7.5 is just fine. And then the rest, it's a little bit more stay away for Memphis. You're on the underdog in the Conference USA with UAB. Stay away from the MAC. Although, well, you said, were you on Central Michigan there?
No, I wanted to be, but not at this number.
And then Boise, we'd probably be on Boise. And then the only real underdog we're on in Sun Belt is Louisiana Lafayette. So we think the big boys are going to win these games for the most part.
Yeah, and historically speaking, the favorites have performed really well in these championship games. So I think that we're in line with that thought process as well.
Gotcha. Alrighty, well, let's transition to the hoops. Let's go over the Action Power Ratings. What do we got this week, Action?
Well, coincidentally, number 1 and 2 facing off currently in my screen here, Michigan State and Duke come in at 1 and 2. And you can see here, Wegs, that the efficiency rating shows Michigan State as basically a pick 'em here. And pre-tip-off, that line rose to a number that I thought was a little bit too much. So I took 6.5 with Duke on the road at East Lansing, and they're faring pretty well in the first half.
Nice. So, the Breslin Center. Yeah, sure.
Not over till it's over. But coming in third, you've got Louisville, who just finished off a beatdown of Michigan.
They did.
Maybe beatdown's a strong word, but they handled them pretty easily.
Well, Michigan opened the game on a, I think they shot 3 for the first 23 shots, so.
Ouch.
Yeah.
That'll do you in. That Louisville team is very strong, and it was very interesting to see Michigan leap into the top 25, into the top 5 this morning in the AP poll.
Yep.
They showed up at 4th, which is a very interesting move, certainly.
You got Ohio State. They got a big game this week. They're playing North Carolina in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. That should be a heck of a game.
Ohio State, another team that looks very good this season, and they play very good defense. So something to look out for as they go on the road to Chapel Hill on Wednesday night. Then at number 5, we have Gonzaga. Much like most years, they haven't really played much of a difficult schedule, but they're certainly beating the opponents that they need to.
They play Washington this weekend, so that should be a pretty good game.
Yeah, definitely one to watch for. Then you've got another Big Ten team at 6 in Maryland.
Yep.
The Terrapins looked very good in winning their Feast Week tournament this weekend and totally pasting Marquette on Sunday. Mm. So that was a big outing for them. Number 7 is North Carolina. And 8, Kansas. 9, Kentucky. And 10 is Auburn. A couple of SEC teams to round out the top 10 there.
With North Carolina, you know, they've got a tough week. They play Ohio State at home, and then they go to Virginia on Sunday. So they're going to earn their keep if they're going to keep this rating. I see that Virginia is not in your top 10, but in KenPom, I know they're at number 2, aren't they?
That is a good question. I haven't really checked KenPom, but I can tell you that Virginia takes quite a step back because their offensive efficiency has really dwindled this season. Mm. Not nearly the same team on that side of the ball that they were a year ago. So that's something to monitor. And it's indicative in the scores that they're putting out each week too. I don't think they've broken 110 points in several games. So, and in fact, on Wednesday night, I was looking at some look ahead lines and the total against the Purdue Boilermakers opened up at a paltry 102 points.
Wow. Super low. Yeah, I've got them 3rd in KenPom. I ran this yesterday. Okay. 3rd in KenPom, and they're 91st in offense. That is – they're number 1 in defense. 91st. Yep. Ouch. That's tough.
Yeah, and 292nd in field goal percentage shooting. So ooh, definitely numbers that will drag them down in terms of their ratings.
That is nuts. Just some of the other games. We mentioned the Big Ten ACC challenges going on tonight and tomorrow night. We probably won't have this out by then, but – just factually, so you guys know. Some of the other big matchups I saw on the slate for the week, Arizona's playing at Baylor. That's a heck of a game. You know, those are two, at least in the KenPom and top 25. I mentioned North Carolina at Virginia. Kind of one that's, you know, off the radar, a team that played really well this weekend. The Dayton Flyers, they played excellently, and they're playing against St. Mary's at Talking Stick. That's a heck of a game between two, you know, pretty good programs.
Certainly, I'll be looking forward to that one.
And then the Zags at Washington, I already mentioned. And the other one that's kind of intriguing, it's interesting that they – this is what I love about college basketball. You're not afraid to play people because losing a game in, you know, early December isn't going to kill your resume. But Seton Hall is going to Iowa State this weekend. So it's kind of a nice cross-sectional matchup and conflict of styles, I suppose. But Seton Hall's a pretty good team this year. And, you know, Iowa State's always, you know, they're in the mix.
Yeah, that'll be another great game. I love watching that Seton Hall team play with the star.
I can't remember Powell? His name. Miles Powell.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's really good.
Miles Powell.
Yeah, he's a baller. He definitely, like when we last year we talked about it, he outshines Howard, you know, from Marquette in my eyes. So it's fun to see that guy play.
Definitely.
Well, let's jump into the NFL. You know, we've been going over these numbers all year, but they're slowly starting to creep back in line, I suppose. Underdogs still took it this week at, you know, 9-7 against the spread in week 13, 7 outright upsets. That's kind of what's crazy any given Sunday, right? You had Buffalo on Thursday, Washington, which we'll go over our circus spots. We, you know, you called that. I give you a lot of credit for sticking with that. Maybe not the upset, but they covered easily and won. Miami, they came back against Philly. They looked dead and they came back. Cincinnati got their win. We kind of talked about that with Andy Dalton coming back. Pittsburgh won. They were at home. Denver beat the Chargers. Oh, the Chargers. And then the Texans, you know, they were at home, but they beat the Patriots pretty soundly, I thought.
Yeah, certainly the Texans were the dominant team in that game, even though the final score didn't really indicate that. That was an impressive performance.
And then I guess basically that puts the underdogs at 55.4% on the season against the spread. So, you know, the dogs are still barking, but it's closing. The gap is closing, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. You know, like we always talk about, the water will find its level, and I'm sure it may continue to trend back in that direction as the rest of the season wears on.
Yeah.
4 weeks left now.
That's right, 4 weeks left. And then the home road splits, it was even for road teams against the spread, you know, 56% of the season. And then the over-unders, you know, they're getting, it was 8-7-1, so it's starting to get leveled out. It looks like the bookmakers are right on now. Under still lead, but it's a very narrow margin. So we don't have a ton of injury notes that we're going to talk about, but we should, you know, talk about our guy, Riverboat Ron, who got fired today. Not surprising. I think I mentioned this in the preseason. I thought that was going to happen. I think that that Kyle Allen experiment really kind of staved that off for a few weeks because they won so many games, and now they've just hit the skids again. So, sorry, Ron Rivera.
Yeah, I think that was inevitable, but I am kind of surprised that they did it so early.
Yeah.
Certainly they're out of the playoff picture now, but I was surprised to see that come across the wire today.
Yeah, I think they've lost. I said it last week. I have to check. It's their fourth or fifth loss in a row. So they did this last year. They think they finished the season. They lost 6 of 7 or something like that. So it just happens with some coaches. They just lose the voice and, you know. But one thing that was surprising was that Jason Garrett still has a job. They obviously lost the game against Buffalo on Thanksgiving, and he looked dumbfounded like he always does on the sideline. And Jerry Jones, I don't, did you see his quote this week? It was something like, I think he'll be coaching in the NFL next year.
Ringing endorsement.
Exactly. What does that mean? It's like a vote of confidence. But anyway, well, let's go over our statistics. Net yards per play, you want to go over that metric this week?
Yeah, San Francisco number one at 1.5. Dallas comes in at number two, 1.4. And those teams are way ahead of the pack, interestingly enough. The Rams are up there in third spot now, 0.9 net yards per play. Then you've got four teams deadlocked at 0.7. It's Kansas City, Baltimore, New Orleans, and Minnesota. So a lot of the teams that you would expect near the top, although Dallas, I don't know what is going on. They just cannot win football games right now. And it doesn't seem like anyone wants to win that division.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible. I mean, Philadelphia has the golden opportunity to jump back in. They lose against the Dolphins. But one of the things with Dallas, you know, we've talked about this before, they are baffling. I mean, they've got – they're like number two in yards per game or something. Maybe number one. But their points per game is like 26, which is, you know, it's not in the middle, but it's like top 10, top 12. It's just they don't put the ball in the end zone, and they also turn the ball over a lot. They right now are sitting at -4 turnover differential, so all that leads to losses and a 6-6 record, and they'll play the Bears, another middling team at this point. So we'll see how that shakes out. The bottom half, look at Miami. They're -1.7 now. Remember when they were like -2.4 or something?
Yes. Yeah, coming back to the pack a little bit, Fitzmagic is leading them to some yards. They're actually not on the bottom of yards per play on offense, and they're they're tied for the bottom in each category.
But. Right, but, you know, they're getting better, right? They're outscoring teams like the Bengals and the Redskins. I mean, they're putting some points on the board. They just give up a lot of points as well. Arizona's right there, too, with Cincinnati at the bottom. The Giants are starting to – your Daniel Jones bet. Did you actually make that bet?
Yeah, Daniel Jones and
Haskins.
And Haskins, yes. I have them both to lead the league in interceptions.
Yeah, it's too bad because Jones is starting to put it up in the other team's hands a lot. I mean, he's definitely getting there. Green Bay is at the bottom of this metric, which is a little surprising. Not that surprising, but then Washington and Carolina. So Green Bay is one of those mysteries of science. I mean, they are kind of like the inverse of the Cowboys. They win the games that they shouldn't win. And a lot of it does have to do with turnover differential. They're plus 11 on the season, which is huge. But that defense, for some reason, they give up a lot of yards, but they only give up like 21 points a game. So it's really kind of a mystery. I don't know how they're winning these games, but it looks like they're going to probably win the division, the NFC North.
Yeah, especially after the Minnesota loss last night. But that is fascinating to think about. They are the opposite of the Cowboys, but you're right. I think the turnovers are a major factor there.
Well, the WEGS index isn't that dissimilar as typical. The 49ers at the top of this metric, barely at 3.7, and then the Ravens at 4.0, followed by the Patriots at 4.3. Then you kind of have a drop-off with the Cowboys at 8.8, Saints at 9.0, Vikings at 9.5. They dropped after last night, and then the Chiefs at 9.7. You may ask the question, Action. I don't know if you had this on the tip of your tongue.
I do. Why are the Ravens behind the Niners?
Oh, well, yeah. Well, they're like, they're right there. I mean, it's right there.
Oh.
But
that wasn't it?
It's the Seahawks, right? You're like, oh, the Seahawks. Well, they're 10-2. They're the 2 seed in the NFC. The thing is that team gives up a ton of yards. And, you know, it's kind of weird. They're actually around 11 in the index. So they're, you know, like 10th or 11th on the list. I mean, they're a hell of a team, and it must be Russell Wilson, you know, because he's just pulling things out of his hat, you know, making things happen as he did last night. But we'll see come the playoffs. You know, teams like the Packers, teams like the Seahawks that are relying a lot on their quarterback play, if they face a really solid team, we'll see what happens, see if they can beat them, you know.
Mm-hmm. Where do they fall in the turnover metric, just out of curiosity?
Seahawks, they're actually plus 10 now. They're plus 10 in the turnover differential. They're really high. So that probably also bails them out quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they're giving up almost 25 points a game, 24.4 points a game. They're giving up, you know, 370 yards a game. So they're not in the elite defensive category, but the offense is – they're hucking and chucking. They're making things happen, and they're running the ball like crazy, which is great. You know, Rashad Penny coming back really helps them. It gives them that – kind of two-pronged approach in the running category. So
yeah, this is the time of the year for running football. I mean, look at the Tennessee Titans. They've been rattling off wins too, another team that likes to run the ball a lot.
Well, speaking of Tennessee, when we look back at week 13, we obviously went 4-1 in the contest, so pat ourselves on the back. Woohoo! We're really looking at this last quarter, and we are now tied for 52nd overall in this quarter. We're not looking at the overall record action. That 1400th. I don't know what that means. Our only loser was Seattle last night. We came through with Tennessee, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and Washington. Tennessee is that team, man. They're just tough. Derrick Henry has done this. I heard a statistic today that in the last 16 games, regular season games, he's rushed for over 1,700 yards and 20 rushing touchdowns. Not bad. Wow. Not bad.
No. Yeah. And he seems like he turns it on this last month of the season every year.
Exactly. Too. Vrabel and that crazy porn stash of his, he likes running that football.
To the bone.
Exactly. Well, let's go over this week's spots and figure out what we can do for the contest. The first game we won't pick, nobody picks this game, is Dallas at Chicago. Dallas is a 3-point favorite. Look, this is kind of a disappointing bowl, isn't it? I mean, both teams were playoff teams last year. They're both sitting at 6-6. I do actually kind of like the Cowboys here with the 3 points, but I don't know if I'm going to have the guts to bet it. I know we're not going to put in the contest. Thank God it's on Thursday.
Yeah, no kidding. I would definitely lean to the Cowboys in this one too, and I just have no interest in betting on the Bears right now.
Right.
On Thursday morning, I saw that line skyrocket after the announcement that David Blau would start at quarterback.
Yeah.
And I was wondering to myself, is Trubisky really that much better than David Blau? And it turns out he wasn't.
No, Blau played pretty good. The Bears actually trailed much of that game. I was watching it and furious, but then they ended up getting that late score to go ahead and actually cover like the number in the contest I was in. But not the – I think the last – what was the final number? It was like 5 or 4.5 or something?
It hit 5.5.
Okay.
At one point.
So, yeah, they covered the initial like 3.5 line, but not the 5.5. So.
Right. Yeah, I think the books probably got middled in that one.
No doubt. The next game, now we're on Sunday where we can actually pick these games, is Baltimore is going to Buffalo. Baltimore is listed as a 6-point favorite. And I got to be honest with you, Action. I like Buffalo in this one. I know that Baltimore's awesome, dude. But you know I love my Bills. Are you going to get on board with me?
Oh, man. I don't know about that. I'm not sure I want to get in front of this Baltimore rushing attack right now.
Yeah, true, true.
You got to look at the opponent's rush defense. Mm-hmm. And right now, Baltimore 22nd rank and defending the rush. So I don't know if I can get behind you on that one.
Okay. I mean, the main thing when I look at these lines is just, is it in line? You know, is it in line with the rest of, you know, the league and the difference between the index and stuff? It's an outlier. That's all I got to say. And just like last week, I mean, the Ravens were rolling, and obviously I think San Francisco's a better team than the Bills, no question. But the line was just off. You know, 6 points. It was too many points. And, you know, Baltimore won that game against San Francisco, but they didn't cover, and it was just a hell of a game. So, I don't know. We'll see. Buffalo, they're only one win away from the playoffs. So, that win against Dallas kind of solidifies their spot. It's going to be interesting to see if this team can really play against the big boys, and this would be one of them. So, we'll see. We can stay away.
You make an excellent point, and there's no doubt that Baltimore is getting expensive right now based on this recent run they've been on. And I do agree that six is probably a little bit of an overpriced number. You also have to consider that Buffalo is going to have some serious motivation now watching New England lose in Houston the other night.
Sure.
They still have a shot at this division.
Yeah, so. they play them the following week, right? So if they win this game and they go to New England and win, they take the division. It's awesome.
Yeah, maybe something we could think about a little more. Certainly will depend largely on the number, though.
Sure. The next one is Green Bay. They're hosting Washington. We're listing this as a 13-point favorite for Green Bay. Man, this team is confounding. They ended up covering against the Giants, but it was a little bit of a nail-biter for a while there. The Giants finally started giving the game up. I know my squareness would say, hey, you know, Rodgers at home, 13 points, but Washington's been playing pretty good, and, you know, they ran for over 200 yards last week to win that game and against Carolina, and Packers defense isn't that great. So what's your feeling on – back in Washington again?
Oh yeah, slam dunk. Without a doubt, Darius Geis was awesome last week.
He was.
And certainly some of that had to do with Carolina's awful rush defense, but Green Bay is right there with them, 28th ranked against the run, and I think that the Washington Redskins will certainly be able to run the ball and hopefully keep it out of Aaron Rodgers' hands. So anything near 13, you can definitely sign me up for the Redskins again.
Okay, there you go. Late season run for the Redskins. The next game is Houston. They're at home against Denver. They're a heavy 9.5-point favorite. This is one of those outliers action. It's a big number. Houston looked incredible against New England. There's no question. Their secondary played really well, which was kind of surprising. And I don't think Denver's any great shakes with this, you know, the new quarterback, Brandon Allen. But this defense can play. The Broncos defense can hold teams down. And 9.5 seems like a big number. Now, we've dudded out with Denver before on the road, so I can understand if you want to stay away, but I can't take Houston in the 9.5.
Yeah, Drew Lock now, new quarterback for the Denver Broncos.
Well, that's right. My bad.
Yeah, I'm not sure that he performed pretty well and definitely exceeded my expectations. I was in on a couple of Denver team total unders, and Drew Lock busted those in the first half, but it is a big number, and I do agree with you that Houston is definitely getting expensive here, probably based on that Sunday night performance. So certainly looking at this as a buy low opportunity on the Broncos, and I think that I would agree it's pretty big number there.
Okay. The next one is a really marquee game in the NFC, one that will basically determine, at some level, determine who's the one seed. The Saints are hosting San Francisco. San Francisco has this murderer's row schedule right now. They're really in it, you know, going from Baltimore to New Orleans. Wonder if they're staying out in the East Coast this time. And right now, New Orleans is listed as a 2.5-point favorite. I don't know, man. As good as the Saints played in the middle, like the, or I guess, first third of the season, this team hasn't impressed me as much of late. And as the Niners are just, they might be road weary here. Of course, it's a bad scheduling spot for them. But I'd be on the side of the Niners here with the 2.5 points.
Yeah, I definitely think that they're worth a look here. The Saints have been underwhelming the last several weeks, and it looks like that Breeze may be hitting a wall, even though it's not something I expected with him sitting out for the better part of 2 months.
Right.
But I do agree that I think San Francisco is probably the team that is going to be poised to take advantage in this game. And to answer your question, I did hear Shanahan interview that they are staying in Florida this week and then heading to New Orleans. So definitely will mitigate some of that travel a little bit.
They were successful earlier in the season. I think it was Pittsburgh and somebody else. They did the same kind of thing where they had a back-to-back and they won those games. So, you know, I think from a coaching standpoint, they're right there. The biggest thing for New Orleans, besides Breeze, they're not really running the ball like they did in that. It's almost like with Bridgewater, they were more committed. Their game plan was better. It just feels like, you know, and the defense has been a little suspect. They did win, obviously, this week. They played against Atlanta, and they kind of beat up Atlanta. But I just didn't like how they played against Carolina the week before, and we'll see how it goes this week.
Yeah. Definitely telling that the number has moved off the 3 as well. You see mostly 2.5 across the board, which indicates, I mean, it takes a lot of money to get a number off of three like that.
For sure. The next one is Cleveland against Cincinnati. Cleveland is a 9-point favorite at home. The Bengals finally get a win. You know, Andy Dalton comes back and they beat the Jets pretty soundly. The Browns, you know, you were right, man. The Steelers, we talked about on Saturday morning, I got on their side with the Steelers, and the Browns were dominating the first quarter. It was like 10-0. I was about to text you about Duck Hodges and say, what's up with Duck Hodges? And then he completes that ball to James Washington on the sideline, and yeah. I actually deleted the text. And and then I watched the rest of the game. Cleveland just got out-muscled against the Steelers in that one. But the Bengals are a different breed. I think the number's a little heavy for Cleveland, but they're very motivated. They can still make the playoffs if they run the table. And since they play Cincinnati twice, so they're going to beat Cincinnati. I just don't know if it's going to be by 9.
You know the numbers better than I. Do the Browns really have a realistic shot at the playoffs?
Well, they do. The way it's going to work out is, it obviously there's a lot, the Titans factor into this, but if they run the table, they'll finish 9-7. They're 5-7. They got to win their last four games, right? And they play Cincinnati twice. Let me pull their schedule up real quick. I think they play Arizona as well. Does that sound right? They have a really cream puff schedule. That was the thing. Mm-hmm. They play, this is their closing schedule. Home against the Bengals, at the Cardinals. They do play the Ravens at home, and then they play the Bengals at the Bengals. So obviously I kind of anticipated them maybe beating the Steelers, so maybe they'd make it in. It's just a matter of motivation for the Ravens in week 16. But they should get 3 wins here. So they're going to be sitting at, you know, 8-7. It's just with the Ravens game is the key game. So
sure,
they do have a shot. Yeah, they got a shot. Anyway, I digress. What do you think about the 9 points?
Yeah, I mean, initially I was leaning to the Bengals, but that was largely predicated on me thinking that the Browns are ready to give up on the season. Mm-hmm. So it's probably a number that I want to stay away. I think we could take our Bengals win and move on. although, look at the other end of the spectrum. The Jets and the Dolphins and the Giants are all winning, and the Redskins now are all winning games now. Oh, no, so
it's weird.
Cincinnati can even afford to win another game and still get that number one pick. So certainly going to be interesting to see if they're interested in winning on Sunday.
And they're supposed to be getting John Ross back, their, you know, speedy wide receiver, but it's hard. I mean, they played way better than the Jets, no doubt. And Dalton clearly is better than your guy Finley and all, but we'll see. I mean, 9 points is just a big number anyway, but I mean, they blew out the Dolphins 2 weeks ago. The Browns are confounding. They're just one of those teams. All right, yeah. The next game is Atlanta against Carolina. This number, has it changed since the firing? Let's see here. We've got 3
it's
points.
It's moved up to 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Falcons are 3-point favorites at home. It's almost like a who cares bowl. I don't know. I mean, Perry Field takes over for Carolina. I'm not excited about that guy. I guess I'd back Atlanta, but neither of these teams I can really be excited about in our contest.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. As soon as this number got posted, I crossed it off my list.
Yeah.
So yeah. I have no interest in betting on this game.
Perfect. The next one is Minnesota is 13-point favorites against Detroit at home. It's likely that you're going to get your guy, what was his name, David Blau?
Yes, Boilermaker.
Boiler up. He played well. Boiler up. He played pretty well. Obviously, the Vikings, you know, they were, you know, they fell down in that game. They were up. They fell down. They almost came back. They were right there with Seattle. It's not like they got blown out or something. I just don't know about this defense. The secondary is kind of bad this year.
Mm-hmm.
So 13 points seems like a lot. What's the total? 43. Oof. It's one of those classic handicapping, right? 43-point total, yeah. And you win by 13. Can you really lay those points?
No, I don't think so. I definitely would not be looking at Minnesota here, but I really just kind of question the Detroit Lions defensive motivation a little bit. I certainly know that Blau is going to play hard. He's playing for a job in this league.
Sure.
But when you're handicapping Vikings games, you got to look and see how are they going to stop Dalvin Cook and company. Although Dalvin Cook picked up a little bit of an injury last night, so definitely something that we should monitor before thinking about this game. I certainly would lean to the Lions, though.
Yeah, Diggs was also dinged up on the same exact play. He wasn't quite the same after that. I think Thielen might come back as well. So there's some injuries we got to check on that one for sure. We'll revisit Saturday morning. The next game is intriguing, a rematch. The Jets are hosting Miami this time. Miami got the Jets the first time around, kind of a bit of a surprise. 5.5 seems like a lot for the Jets, but, you know, they were playing pretty good going into the Bengals game. They're definitely better at home. If this number was like 3.5, I'd probably go for it for the Jets, but 5.5 just seems like a lot to lay for the Jets.
Yeah, I agree. And the Dolphins are playing hard right now. Another victory on Sunday. And I'm trying to look now. Do you recall what the spread was in Miami a few weeks ago?
They were favored. I think they were 3-point favorites or maybe 3.5-point favorites. And obviously they lost. But yeah, so, I mean, it's weird. This team is a little schizophrenic. I mean, they play really good against better competition. And then against crappy teams, they play down. It's a little bit weird. I don't know. I mean, I think that the Jets could. It's supposed to be, you know, rougher weather for Miami guys. But my guy Devontae Parker is lighting it up out there with Fitzmagic. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could back the Dolphins on the road. But I definitely don't know if I can go with the Jets at 5.5.
Yeah, I agree. I think that this number tells you that the play here is Jets or pass. And I certainly would be more interested in passing than betting on the Jets.
Gotcha. Well, what about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? They are 3-point favorites against your Colts at home. The Colts, you know, they fought hard against the Titans. It's just the block. In the end, Vinatieri screwed him again. He gets blocked, returned for a touchdown at a critical stage of the game. Tampa is starting to play a little better. It took them all season. As long as Jameis doesn't throw pick sixes, he can throw picks all day. Now they're not pick sixes, then they got a chance. I actually might like Tampa in this game.
Yeah, I definitely agree that Tampa has to be the side. Certainly don't have any interest in betting on the Colts without T.Y. Hilton in the lineup.
Right.
It's clear that they're just not the same offense without him. They have no explosiveness, and they lost another receiver on Sunday, and it doesn't look like Paris Campbell is going to be playing, so definitely can't be back in the Colts with all those offensive injuries.
Mm-hmm.
The question is just whether or not you think you can trust Jameis to hang on to the ball.
I mean, because we're trying to win $143,000 here, Jameis. Can you help me?
Yeah, right.
Give me some crab legs and give me some money.
Definitely something we could entertain, but maybe see if there are five better picks before we go with the Bucs.
Cool. Good idea. The next one is the Chargers at Jacksonville. Boy, this is a battle for who gives a shit. I tell you, I don't know. I've heard a lot of analysis on this game, mainly about, you know, Anthony Lynn, can he coach? And then the Jacksonville Jaguars, I mean, this team is just completely disappointed in the second half of the season. They went back to Minshew when they were down by, you know, Foles opens the game with three straight turnovers. I mean, you can't win like that. But I don't know if Minshew magic is still around. So I'd say stay away of this one, even though the Chargers probably will win the game.
Yeah, I agree. I did hear that Minshew has been announced as starting quarterback, so they're definitely going to stick with him, likely for the rest of the season. But I do agree that I think it's probably something we could pass on. I certainly have no interest in laying 3 points with the Chargers on the road.
Gotcha. Well, here's one huge matchup. The Patriots hosting the Chiefs. The Patriots are listed as a 3-point favorite. The Chiefs seemed to get right last week. I tell you, Mahomes looked healthy. He was running around like crazy, making things happen, destroyed the Raiders. They obviously won us for the contest. And then New England, that offense, as you've been talking about for about 4 or 5 weeks, doesn't look right. They have nobody who can get separation. Did you see Brady yelling at his receivers? Like,
yeah.
He just gets some separation. They really miss like Gronk or somebody who can make a difference in that passing game. So I'd be all over the Chiefs with this +3.
Yeah, I would be surprised if we get a 3 in the contest, yeah, but too. I agree with you that if it's 3, I'll be looking at the Chiefs as well. I've already bet that number, in fact. And I do think that Mahomes and company will certainly be able to move the ball. I mean, Deshaun Watson and the Texans were moving it pretty much at will on Sunday night. So I have no reason to believe that the Chiefs won't be able to do the exact same thing.
Right. The next one is your guy, Duck Hodges, came through for us, and now they're going to go to Arizona. They're 3-point favorites on the road, which, you know, it's always tough to favor a guy who's only making his, is it third career start now on the road, yep. But the Steelers defense is elite. We saw that against the Browns. We've seen that really for the last 6 or 7 weeks. They are kind of tearing it up defensively, and I think they're the type of defense that can get after Kyler Murray in this offense. So I'd be okay with riding the Duck train and Duck Dynasty for even with 3 points.
Duck Dynasty, I like that. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think we were trading texts on Sunday or Monday that perhaps we could just bet on the Steelers blindly for the rest of the season. So
I think you said if they cover the rest of the season, then you will get the Hodges jersey. I'm going to get it for you.
And we win the 143.
That's a lot of ifs. Come on, X.
Yeah. No, I mean, in all seriousness, the Pittsburgh Steelers defense is playing on another level right now. Mm-hmm. And I certainly think that they are capable of holding down Kyler Murray. You saw on Sunday that they had no ability to move the ball against the Rams. So I think that the Steelers will have very similar success in that game. I expect it'll be a little bit lower scoring, but Duck Hodges is certainly capable.
Well, on the flip side, Arizona gives up tons of yards, especially passing yards. And I like Washington. You know, I like that, you know, Hodges just chucking up to Washington and make it happen down the field. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was the difference after that first quarter when they're down 10-0. I was just biting my nails. They were just kind of pounding in the line every time. Then he started chucking the ball downfield, and kids just making plays, man. And this Arizona team gives up big plays, so he could have a pretty good game against them as long as he doesn't turn the ball over.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, another one of I'm going to say my darlings. I don't know if you're all on the Titans because they're in your Colts division, but the Titans are going to Oakland. They're 3-point favorites on the road. Obviously tough to take a road favorite, but this team is playing really good. They're, you know, like I think they're 6-1 covering the spread with Tannehill, but, you know, under center. I was talking about changing him out like after week two, so finally they listened to us. And I like the Titans going to Oakland. I think that they can run all over this team. I don't know how you feel about that.
Oh man,
tough one, huh?
Yeah, it is a tough one. I do think that Tannehill has been awesome. In fact, I heard a stat on a radio show earlier this week that he is now the second ranked quarterback in terms of passing rating or something.
That's awesome.
So he's certainly playing really well, and Derrick Henry is turning it on, but I'm just not sure this is a good spot for them coming off of a couple of straight wins, and then Oakland is now back at home. Certainly something that we could talk about a little bit more, though. You could maybe convince me.
Nice. Okay, well, let's go to the next one. This is a big game in the NFC West, kind of an elimination game for the Rams if they lose. Seattle is going to the Rams. After their big performance, this line kind of came – actually, no. Yeah, I think Seattle opened up as a bigger favorite, right? They were 2.5-point favorites, but now they're down to 1 against the Rams. So I don't know. I mean, these two teams have played really good games in the past. The Rams look better against Arizona, but that's Arizona. I don't know what you feel about this game. It's basically a pick 'em with Seattle. Seattle's, I think, a better team. I just don't know if it's the right spot to back in the contest.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough spot and a weird line move based on the Seattle performance last night. You would have thought that it would have stayed the same,
right?
But now it looks like money's coming in on the home Rams. But I do think that it's probably a little bit interesting to see Seattle favored in this spot. Do you see any reason why they should be favored on the road in LA? I mean, certainly LA hasn't been the same team they were last season, but the Seahawks are giving up tons and tons of yards,
right?
And you have to expect that Jared Goff and the Rams will be able to do the same on Sunday.
Right. I mean, I think that the smart bettors, the 2.5 was the wrong number, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the 1, or it might even fall to a pick or something, seems right in line. The Seahawks are a better team than the Rams, you know, in the index and everything. They're not that far off, but I think it's, you know, that 2.5 was more kind of like the Baltimore line, right? They're like, oh, the Seattle, I mean, they are 6-0 on the road this year. You know, they haven't lost a road game yet. So it would stand to reason that they're going to win against the Rams, who have played okay at home. So, but in terms of the metrics, the 1 seems right on now. Like when it was 2.5, I think it was heavy. So it's just hard. You know, the Rams, I'm not saying they have championship pedigree because they didn't win a championship, but they have players on this team and they've got some talent. And, you know, Aaron Donald has been known to, you know, wreck some lineups. So,
yeah,
you know, that's my only fear, is that all it takes is one good performance, you know, by this team that really has been so up and down. The Rams played great against the Bears. Now, the Bears are no great shakes, but defensively, and then they, you know, they get waxed the next week against Baltimore. It doesn't, I don't know who's showing up for the Rams, I guess is what I'm saying.
That's true. Yeah. When you do look back at week five, Seattle was only a 1.5 point favorite at home in that Thursday night game.
Right.
So definitely a big move when you look at the flipping sides to the game in LA this week, that LA should be a much heavier favorite. So.
Right. Well, the last game is Philadelphia against the Giants. I'm going to Philly tomorrow for work. I'm sure all the Philly fans are going to be lamenting about the loss to the Dolphins. They are hosting the Giants. 9 points is huge. I mean, I can't back the Giants. I can't do it. But this Philly team, they can't cover numbers, man. They might cover this against the Giants because they stink, but I thought the Dolphins were bad. So 9 points seems like a lot, even at home, for the Giants, or for the Eagles against the Giants.
Yeah, definitely agree. I don't think that I have any interest in laying points with Philadelphia right now, but also don't want to back Danny Dimes and company.
No, exactly. So we'll, you know, maybe stay away or whatever on that one. Maybe we have enough. Hopefully we have enough that are close. Looks like we got KC, Pittsburgh, Washington, and San Francisco. We just got to figure out one more, I guess.
Yeah, we've got plenty of highlights there. I don't think we need to press.
Gotcha. Well, just to review my index picks, you know, beforehand, these lines might not be perfect because I put them out before they've changed today. But, yeah, Pittsburgh would be whatever number they're laying, the 2.5, 3. I would take that against Arizona. Personally, I'd take Denver with the +9.5 at Houston. I'd take the Niners at 2.5 at New Orleans. And then I'd personally take Dallas, you know, laying the 3 against the Bears on Thursday. And then lastly, I'd go with Buffalo with the 5.5 at home. When I say I, the index speaks for me.
You mean you're not betting all of these every week?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was doing, you know how I am. I'm super conservative, yeah. America. Lately I've been betting all the college games, right? And usually it's been working out pretty good. The pro games, I just don't have the stomach to do whatever it is, 12 games a week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, volume's more like $80 a week, you know, instead of like 8 games instead of 12. So I've been betting, you know, not all the games of the index picks. And it, again, sometimes when the line comes out, I should just bet it because it's usually the best line, you know? But no, I mean, like last week I only bet 2 games, and pros have been kind of getting killed this year. So this week I may flip it because you've got championship, you know, you got the championship Saturday and there's only a couple games I'm really going to target. And then maybe I will bet most of these. So it's hard to bet against the beloved, but I mean, I do want to win money.
Yeah, certainly. You only need to be partial to your bankroll, Wex.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. Awesome. Well, that wraps up episode 55. It was a hearty episode, a lot of information there. You know, we'll be continuing to churn, probably slowly transitioning to college basketball. We'll have to go over the bowls and maybe be selective about which ones we talk about or something. But obviously the pro football is still going for really 2 more months. But yeah, I'm excited to kind of I started dusting off the Wegs metrics, then I started checking out the KenPom comparisons and everything. So I'll be a little more ready in the coming weeks to dig into some college basketball.
Yeah, that sounds great. I took a little beating in college hoops this week, so I'm certainly scaling it back myself, realizing it may be a little early to jump full in, kind of let these numbers shake out a little bit more. So I'll be getting back to doing more research and certainly focused on NFL, see if we can keep this streak going for the Q4 circuit contest.
That's right, man. 4-1, that's a good week. So let's do it. Well, that wraps it up for us at Side Action Podcast. Follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. Follow me, Wegs, at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
All right. Good luck, everybody.
Peace out, America. That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens, and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.